Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening as thy children come to worship and glorify thy name, to be fed of thy word, to be strengthened in our faith and our walk with thee. As we listen to the words that would be uttered, that it would be by the leading of the Holy Spirit, only through lips of clay. And so we submit ourselves into thy care and keeping, and we pray, Father, a blessing upon our being together. Bless the word as we read it, meditate upon it, and may we give honor and glory and praise to your name and your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I would like to find and read out of chapter 1 of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are in Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringing forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, and strengthened with all might, according to the glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. And whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mysteries which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest unto his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, who we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
Our great God, our Father in heaven, as we come before thee, Father, we pray thee that thou be gracious to us and hear our prayer as we would offer it unto thee. Glory be to thy name. Father, we lift up thy most high and holy name. We give thee the honor and the glory that is due unto thee. May thy kingdom come, may thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father, we know with certainty, and Father, we are reminded each day, Lord, that thou art God and there is none beside. And so, Father, we are so thankful that we can kneel here before thee, worship thee in spirit and in truth, knowing that we are worshiping the one and true God. And so, Father, this gives us fulfillment, this gives us completion, and this gives us satisfaction in our souls, Father, as nothing else can do. And so, Father, we just give thee thanks for this great privilege that we have to come and worship thee in spirit and in truth. And so, Father, we just pray thee that thy spirit would have the preeminence among us in this evening hour, that as we consider this word, Lord, that was penned so long ago, Father, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Father, that thy spirit would speak to us as we meditate upon this word, as it would be spoken upon, as it would be considered, Father, that we would recognize just how good thou art to us, in that thou hast translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. And so, Father, as we labor in thy kingdom, as we would do what thou wouldst have us to do, help us to be faithful stewards with the blessings that thou hast given unto us, with the talents that thou hast given unto us, that we would use it all to thine honor and to thy glory, that we would further thy kingdom. Lord, that we would be a light into this world set upon a hill. Father, that that we would be able to share of hope, the share of love, share of joy that can all be had in Christ Jesus, in whose kingdom we labor. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that thy word would go forth in power and in truth. Father, we pray for those who would need comfort. Father, that through this word, Lord, that comfort can be given. And Father, for those who know thee not, Lord, we just pray thee that it would be evident that Jesus loves them and has come to die upon a cross, shedding his blood, that we all, Lord, might receive forgiveness of our sins, and that we might be translated from that power of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. And so, Father, we would pray for those who were not able to be here, and we are so thankful, Father, that thy Spirit can do all things and is not bound by these four walls, Father, but can go into the hearts and minds of those who physically cannot be here, Lord, and we just pray thee that thy Spirit would fill them with all thy goodness. And so, Father, we would just pray and uplift one another and would strengthen one another and encourage one another to be faithful to thee, to love thee, and then to have that experience of the peace and the joy and know thy love as this world cannot give. And so we just give thee thanks for all thy gifts of life. May thy name be praised. May thy name be glorified. This we do pray in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
As we read this account of the Apostle Paul writing to the book or the church of Colossae. He encourages the believers, and he is encouraged because of their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is bringing this to their attention that their faith has been known throughout the world because of their following the Lord and believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he reminds them that he does pray for them often, as he says here, ever since he found out that the encouragement that he received, even from, as he said, also he also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant who was with you, who was for you and faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And so he immediately prays for the church, which I believe we have a responsibility oft times that we pray for the church. It has come to me recently that do we pray enough for our own brothers and sisters? Do we pray enough for others? Do we pray enough for those that perhaps, like Brother John prayed about, those that are shut in, and that the Spirit would be able to go and reach many others, not just here in these four walls? And I believe that the prayers that we utter, God is glorified by that. He wants us to pray. He encourages us. Christ encouraged us to pray. And the Apostle Paul writes even to pray without ceasing. And so he does utter the prayer for the church, as he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And so that was the thing that come to me as I would pray for the church, that their knowledge of Jesus Christ would increase more and more. And how can that knowledge increase? Well, there's probably a number of ways that can take place and happen to us. But if we pray for it and we ask God to increase us and to increase the brothers and sisters in the church, then this is what he is saying here, that ever since he learned this, he prays that their knowledge would come and that their understanding would be there. And so we hear the word of God, and sometimes we understand it, sometimes we don't. And probably the reason that we don't, because we're not paying any attention. You see, when we hear the word of God and we hear the preaching, you need to listen up. You need to pay attention. You need to be consciously aware and awake. And realize what the word of God is saying. Realize what the brother is preaching up here. So that you and I can understand what God's will is for our lives. And so we need that understanding. We need that wisdom. And how can you get it if you're here, you know? And oftentimes we pray, I have to pray, God, take and the distracted thoughts away from us. How easy sometimes it is to sit here and think of what we got to do tomorrow, what we did today, or what we didn't do yesterday. And thoughts like this race through your mind, and you don't concentrate fully on what the Word of God is saying. And then we can't understand why maybe perhaps some of the things are not being said. Well, maybe they're being said, and maybe we ain't hearing it sometimes. So you see, this is what he's praying here for them, that their knowledge, they be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And why? That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto the pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So not only it gives us knowledge and understanding of God, but it increases us in our, that we would walk worthy, pleasing in the sight of God. Now every one of us here, if we're brother and sister in the Lord, we want to please the Lord. It's just like when, I remember when I was young and I would do things for my mom and my dad, and I would do it because I knew it would please them. And they would be thankful that I would do this. And for you young people, that you need to realize and understand this too. When you do things, you do them for your parents, and it's pleasing. It's not only pleasing to your parents, but it's pleasing to God. And so we do these things to please one another, to keep up these good works, to walk worthy, as it says here, so that we can continue to live a godly and life and increase in the knowledge of His truth. And so this is what I believe the Apostle Paul is encouraging them here. Strengthening with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And so He's giving thanks, He says here, to the Father because of the, they were partakers of this inheritance. How often do we give thanks because we have this inheritance that we are God's children? And how can we be sure that we're God's children? Let me read to you what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans. He talks about being carnally minded and to be spiritually minded and be led of the Spirit. And here's what he said. So then if they which are in, this is chapter 8, verse 7, for verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, ye are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you see, he makes it very pointed and clear. If we follow and be led of the Spirit, how are we going to be led of the Spirit if we don't know what the Scripture says about learning and about understanding what the Bible says, and how can we learn to be led by the Spirit? We claim to be have possession if the Spirit dwells within you, he says here. And certainly, we want to believe that the Spirit dwells within us. And we practice daily, we practice the being led by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come easy, and it doesn't come natural. We may have to make a concentrated effort to be led of the Holy Spirit of God. And so this is what the apostle was saying here, that there are those meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now this is part of the knowledge that we need to have and understand. To whom we have redemption through his blood. We have to be reminded of that time and time again. When Satan comes and tempts us, we have to think about, wait a minute, I'm redeemed. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't follow you, Satan, and I don't go for your temptations. I need to resist you. And we try, we do. Because we have the knowledge that we have been redeemed through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And you know, sometimes we think of the sins that we commit. And how can, will God forgive us? You know why he forgives us? I'll tell you why he forgives us. 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we would be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is why we become one of his children, because he loved us. That's what he's saying here. What manner of love the Father had for us. And so he loved us so much, he sent his Son that we might have forgiveness of our sins. Christ said himself, I didn't come to condemn you, I come to save you. And he did. By hanging on the cross, shedding his precious blood, and to be our Lord and our Savior that died for us and arose and is alive. This is the knowledge that we have to obtain. This is the knowledge that the church in Colossae was growing and learning and understanding. Because you see, they didn't have, I don't believe they had a Bible like we have Bibles. We can have a Bible in every room. You can have Bibles in your car. You don't even have, just you can carry it around on your phone, the Bible, if you want to. So we have access to God's Word any given time, any place, anywhere, if we want it, if we are willing, if we want to be attentive, if we have the Spirit of God in us and dwelling in us and wants us to be encouraged in our faith. Take your phone, get it out, read, and there's a number of Bible apps that you can get, and you can read it just any given place you want to. This is God's way of teaching us, helping us to know and understand his will for our lives. And we have that advantage here in our country, freedom. Freedom to do and whenever we want, say what we want to who we want. And it can be, we can talk about God all we want. It's just not, some places you don't dare do this. I have a niece and nephew just came back from China. They went there to be missionaries. And they had to do it very quietly, hushly. Don't mention anything about God. They'll come and take you away. They had to even teach their children, don't even mention why we're here as missionaries. They had to work with the underground people that are in China. There's underground churches all over in China that the government can't keep up with. But it got to where they had to leave because it was getting worse. And so they left. But this is just part of life. This is part of the world. And we have the freedoms. We don't have that kind of worry whatsoever. Thanks be to God that we have the opportunities to worship him any given time we so desire. We don't have to just come here to worship. We can worship him everywhere we want to, anywhere, because he loved us and we are his children. And so he goes on to mention about that he has the preeminence of everything. And sometimes we don't really, we think of him as that man that walked the street and done a lot of good things and helped a lot of people, made the blind to see, and he made the dumb to speak, and so on and so forth. But do we realize that everything that was made by him and for him? This is God's Son. This is our Lord and Savior. And he sent him to die on the cross for us because he loved us. He loved us that much. And so he, in spite of the fact, and it goes on to talk about all the things that, as he says here, for by him all things were created, that and in heaven, that in on are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is in all things he might have preeminence. All things that he might have preeminence. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. That's Jesus Christ. That's the one that we believe in, trust in, and have taken as our personal Savior. Jesus Christ. And so we realize then that he has the preeminence. It goes on and talks about, and it pleased the Father that in him should be all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So you see, we are reconciled. In other words, we are brought in one with our Father Jesus, our Father God. We're brought in as one with him. That's what reconciliation means. That's what being reconciled means, that we could be coexist with him. And so we have been reconciled only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the preeminence that he has. And so that's why he reminds us here that we were sometimes aliens and enemies in our mind. We were sinners. But thanks be to God, we obeyed the truth, and we have been crucified in his death. We have become his children. As a result, we are the part of the church. We are part of his body, and he is the head of the church. He is the head of the body. And that's our Lord and our Savior, who died and shed his blood for us. And so this is what the Apostle Paul, reminding the church in Colossae, what Jesus Christ had done for them as well as for us. But there's a stipulation in here. Yes, we are his children. And yes, we do have the knowledge of him. And yes, we can claim that inheritance. But if we read also in verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So you see, that little word, if we continue in the faith, that's the key. How do we do that? Because we have the knowledge, we have the understanding, we have our Lord and Savior that died for us. He loved us. All of this contributes to us if we want to keep our faith in Jesus Christ. So you see, we're encouraged then by him that we would do this, not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. even the mysteries which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now made manifest to his saints. That's you and I. The gospel message, the message of salvation for our very souls, this is the mystery that was hid for ages and now revealed to us that are his saints. Can we realize and grasp the meaning of being one of God's children? Of being loved by God so much that we have this opportunity, we have been called and chosen by God? We have to remember these kinds of things for our very soul salvation, and that we might not only remember them, but realize that we must love our Lord because he first loved us. We read that in the epistles of John. So, much could be said of what the church in Colossae, he has much instruction for them, but he says, to whom God would make known as what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So you see, his goal and his desire and his preaching was to bring them, as he says, that he might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. How oft times we think how far away we are from perfection. And yet, because of Jesus Christ, and because the preeminence that he has, we are made perfect if we believe and we trust in him. If we love him and we want to serve him with all our heart, soul, and mind, that's how we can be perfect in Jesus Christ. And this was his goal, this was his striving, this was his preaching, this is what he wanted for every soul that he ever come in contact with. And so he wrote all of this, and it becomes God's word to you and to me this day and age, so that we have the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of the way of salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.